HBR1, All Things Considered. I'm Dave Lawrence, and grateful to have you listening. We have a very special guest on the line. Started up a four-night run at the Blue Note Hawaii in Waikiki last night, and there through Sunday, it is Kenny G. Thank you so much for taking a moment to do this. I really do appreciate it.
You too, to come there for the grand opening of the Blue Note at the Outrigger. It's so prestigious, you know, I feel like I'm pretty honored.
Definitely a venue associated with a lot of different artists, and when you talk to folks in the business, one thing that is somewhat frequent is people say, I was inspired to get into music by the Ed Sullivan Show, something they saw on that program. And I understand that's the case with you too in picking up the sax.
Yeah, that happened to me. I was watching it on television as a kid and it inspired me. And that's when I asked my mom to get me a saxophone. It wasn't a famous sax player. I just remember it being a big band. Someone stood up and played a solo and I really liked it. So, oh, yeah, that looks fun.
When you think about the other influences that helped shape you.
It's one of those things. I just started practicing and I liked it and I just had this desire to get better at it. That's kind of my vibe, is that if I like something, I want to understand how it works and get good at it. I just wanted to get good at the saxophone. And then once I started hearing professional saxophone players and how beautiful a saxophone could sound, I thought if I just keep practicing, I might be able to get a beautiful sound out of the sax like that.
You also have an early reinforcer in that you were still in high school and you get your first professional gig, I guess you could call it, backing a late great legend.
Yeah, you're talking about Barry White. I was asked to play in Barry White's band. Yeah, that was a boost, you know. My band director in high school saw something in me, and when Barry White's Love Unlimited Orchestra came to Seattle, the sax player, for whatever reason, was missing, and they needed to pick up a guy, and he got me that gig and convinced the authorities that this high school kid could handle the job. And as a 17-year-old, I was already playing with one of the greatest recording artists of that time. So it gave me a lot of confidence to keep going.
What grade were you?
12th grade. I was a senior. I was 17. I had another 3 or 4 months of school where, when I went to school, all the guys that used to kind of pick on me. A very small kid. I'm still pretty skinny, but I was really skinny in high school, and I was easy pickings for a lot of the tougher kids. But then a lot of them went to the show and were surprised to see me playing the sax, and I still have this curly hair, so it was like they recognized who I was. And then all of a sudden, they're super nice to me.
Little Jewish kid, now he's playing with Barry White.
No more stealing his lunch money. It was like, hey, man, right this way. We've got the hallway cleared for you. You know, okay, thanks, brothers. You know, it was cool.
I love it. Majoring in accounting. You graduate magna cum laude, it says, too. That degree seems to have been pretty important. I mean, do you factor that at all into how you're able to continue to get these deals to work?
It's a good question. I don't know. Accounting was, a lot of it was common sense. I'm pretty good with numbers. They say music and numbers go together. When it came to my career, I would look at things that way. And, you know, flying from here to, let's say, Beijing, I'm going to decide whether it's worth it because my accounting background, at least I know I can crunch the numbers and decide whether or not it's worth going all that way for the kind of money I'm getting. And it just was more of a continuation of just the way that I think, which is pretty sensible. And I've always been good in math. So
you mentioned it. You fly your own plane. When did you get into flying?
I got into flying. There's a bass player named Nathan East. He told me one day, he goes, hey, man, I'm taking 5 lessons from this guy named Harry, and you got to go down there and check him out. Man, it's super fun. And so I did, and I started taking flying lessons, and that's how I got into it.
And how much flying do you do? I mean, you mentioned, I guess I brought it up because you were talking about doing the number crunch to do a gig.
My plane's it's a small little propeller plane that doesn't go very far. It can't make it to Beijing. There's no way. It's actually a plane that lands on the water as well. It's an amphibious plane called the de Havilland Beaver. What I will do is I'll fly it. I'll go to San Francisco from LA to San Diego. I'll fly it to Phoenix, Vegas. In the summer times, I like to fly it over to the East Coast, but that takes about 4 days. And that's kind of like a little Zen trip that I take by myself and just kind of get into flying and looking at the scenery and camping out. It's really cool.
You ever landed on the water in Vancouver? Is it one of those sort of planes?
It's exactly like that. I've landed it in Vancouver, right in the harbor there. You know, I'm from Seattle, so I would make that trip quite often.
As you were describing it, I could just see that area that you were talking about there, right where the cruise ships are.
It's exactly right. Yeah, the only hard part about that is that when those cruise ships go by, they create quite a wake. So when you're landing your airplane, you got to kind of time it so that the waves aren't too big, because that's pretty tricky. You know, as a pilot, you have to decide where you're going to land and what direction you're going to land in. When you're on your own landing in a lake that's in the middle of the mountains, you have to decide, is the lake big enough? Which direction you're going to land? Where's the wind coming from? Are there any logs to look out for? Are there any animals? Those are the kind of things that you do when you're kind of on your own flying in the wilderness.
Paints a great picture, what you're doing when you're not up on stage playing Songbird or something like that.
Yeah, it's a nice balance for me. I was like, I'm a nobody. I land these little airports in the middle of Kansas, and I'm just a pilot, filling up, hanging out, having a sandwich. I have a little place in Canada that actually is on a lake. I fly it there every summer, which it's on the east coast of Canada, so that's when I do my four-day little trip.
As we go to wrap it up with you, and you even referenced Beijing, I guess, yourself, kind of like the Barry White, that people didn't know that maybe that you worked for Barry White when you were in high school, another interesting facet of your life culturally, and in the country that's the most populated country on the planet, that going home, part of daily life in China. For people who have no idea what I'm talking about, is it that intense?
Yeah, it's that intense times about a million. I go to China a lot. I go to Asia a lot. There's a song that I did called Going Home, and it's just one of those things. I can't even tell you how and why, but it became a song that's just part of Chinese culture in China. It's a song that they play that kind of tells everybody that the workday is over and it's time to relax. Basically, it's almost telling them it's time to go home. Maybe that's why they latched onto it, because they literally took the title of it. And so when you're in Beijing, let's just say, and you're on a public transportation, it'll be playing like around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it plays. And all people, oh, okay, yeah, time to go home. And in the department store, huge department store, it starts to play. Oh, yeah, time to wrap it up. They play it in the squares outside. You just hear it in the streets. It's not like in the States. We don't really have PA systems when you're walking downtown. But they have that in China, where they have announcements that are made. This particular song is playing, and I've heard it in Tiananmen Square. And even me, I go, well, I guess I better start getting back to the hotel. My mistake was playing it. When I first went to China, played it in the middle of my set because I knew it was a popular song there, looked up and the audience had already gone home.
Wow.
So, oh, yeah. I've got to save that for the last song, I guess. I'll remember that next time. We don't really get into the royalty thing. It's just, you know, some things are just the way they are. And I don't take any offense to that at this point with this song. It's more like I'm flattered that my melody has created this feeling.
He's got several nights in town to share it with us through Sunday. Blue Note. It's saxophonist Kenny G. Really appreciate you being part of the program, man.
Oh, man, thank you. I really appreciate it too, Dave. Aloha, everybody. It's Kenny G here. You're listening to my friend Dave Lawrence on All Things Considered. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.